Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
Backbone.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave
Dobenmeyer. Yes, sir, Bob. I love sharing the gospel with some backbone to it. That's what I like. I like doing that. This is Coach. Things a little bit different here this morning. My wife and I, my beautiful wife of 37 years in Iowa, rolling down the highway. And so I'm not coming to you the way we would normally come to you over Google Hangout with a camera and all that stuff. I thought it might be a good idea that I watch what I'm doing on the road rather than trying to smile into the camera and do it. So Jared's done a great job, I hope, of connecting me up here over a phone line. We're going to do a show today, folks. I want you to buckle in. In fact, I want you to grab yourself a pen and some paper, a notepad or whatever. I want you to be able to take some notes. We're going to do a second edition of a prepping show this morning. Pastor Wayne, who's from that where it lives, where I said I'm not ever going to say he lives again, keep him hidden in his underground bunker. And our friend Chad from down in the Lone Star State, they've done a great deal of prep and great deal of research. And so we're going to turn the show over to them here at some point. Give me a few minutes, though, to make a few points here before we do that. This is March 10th, 2017. Boy, Jared, I was thinking about this, buddy. I don't even know how to do this. We need to hire somebody to figure out how we can archive our shows according to topic or whatever. I keep hearing from people say, man, I was listening to that show, and boom, 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 what do you mean when you said this here? And, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because, you know, we've been doing this 5 days a week since January 25th, I think it was, of 2016. And all of our shows, of course, are archived right there on CoachDaveLive.com, and you can go there, you can go to YouTube at CoachDave.tv. Everything's there, it's all free. But man, it's like hunting for a needle in a haystack to try to find out exactly what show it is. But Jared, I don't even know what I'm saying other than, boy, I don't know how we would ever pull that thing off. But something certainly to consider. Hey, listen, folks, before I get really rolling here, I just want to give a tip of the cap to the Holy Spirit. Because I got to tell you, I don't know what you guys think. The last three shows we've had have been unbelievable. They have just been absolutely. See, the Holy Spirit, guys, the Holy Spirit simplifies things. Jesus, the Holy Spirit did not write the Bible as a riddle. It is not supposed to be hard to figure out. It is not supposed to be confusing. And one of the things that I've noticed over the last, especially the last three shows, really since we've been doing it quite a while, I think one of the reasons that our audience is growing is the simplicity. It's just, the Bible, it just says something. And all you got to do is read it. And what we have to somehow scratch out of our brains all that other malarkey that we have been programmed with to believe. And again, it's a tip of the cap to the Holy Spirit, because I think, first and foremost, the thing is coming a real, what's the word I'm looking for? Trademark of this show is the simplicity of it. And you know what? Simplicity of truth shows you how deep truth is. When you just get a hold of a nugget of truth, it is so simple and it is so deep. And part of what we've been messing with in Christianity, in my opinion, I haven't been to, as I said, the cemetery or anything like that. I can breathe, I can think, and the Holy Spirit directs me. Part of the problem we're having in Christianity is we're putting so much stuff into it that isn't in there. It's what Jesus warned us about when he said to the disciples, I'm sorry, And he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that you teach as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Now, I've gotten some emails over the last couple of days regarding the rapture. Listen, guys, I don't even argue about it. I don't even argue. But can I tell you why I don't even argue about it? Because to me, it's absolutely, totally, 100% irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Michelle and I are riding down the freeway right now, 78 miles an hour, and I could blow a tire and run into a bridge, and I'm out of here. People call it the blessed hope. The blessed hope is, are you telling me the blessed hope is being raptured out of here and avoiding the consequences of sin? That's the blessed hope? Or is the blessed hope simply the soon coming return of our King? Isn't that the blessed hope? See, we want the whole idea. I'm sorry, I just got to ride this horse a second. Bear with me. This whole idea that I can go to heaven without dying. That's what the rapture tells you, right? You go to heaven without dying. That's only happened to one guy that I know. That was Enoch, I think that happened to. And the rapture gives us the idea that we're going to go to heaven without dying. And it has paralyzed Christianity. As I said, I ran into that guy yesterday, 2 days ago. He said, well, the Lord's in charge. Well, holy, sure he is. Sure he is. What does that have to do with anything? It's been the paralysis of it, see? So when we talk about the idea, did you ever think about this? If you're a prepper, and you believe in the rapture, the pre-trib rapture, if you are a prepper, and you believe in the pre-trib rapture, you know you may be storing up stuff for somebody else. Which, like a guy, I turn on to our local Christian radio station, and they are what they call dispensational, whatever that means. But they believe, this radio station, it's Baptist Central, they believe in the rapture. And yet half of their program is on retirement funding. Half of it. So it's bizarre and it's crazy. In my opinion. And I think that we're living in times like we've never seen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is revealing stuff to us that is plainly obvious if we want to believe it. And part of what we have to do is we have to be like the Bereans. What did the Berean Christians do? They searched the scriptures daily to see if what they've been told was the truth. Now I want you to think about that a minute. That is in the Bible. That we are taught, we are made aware of the Berean Christians who were Christians, who followed Scripture, yet were exhorted, you better check this every day to see if what they're telling you is the truth. Why? Because we read evil men and crept in unawares. They're bringing us a different gospel. That's been the theme that we've been speaking about all this week. And there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. The Lord has not hidden nuggets in there to make it a jigsaw puzzle to figure out what's going on. And I think so much of our time is spent trying to undo the jigsaw puzzle rather than just looking at what it says and what's going on and what we can do right in front of us. I want to throw this tidbit out and I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Wayne. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Some of you did. I want you to think about the ramifications. Remember this. The Bible says that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. We are living in an unbelievable time of revealing and unveiling, like never in my lifetime, stuff that we're seeing with all the WikiLeaks and the CIA leaks and all that stuff. On the Drudge Report today, I saw it last night on Facebook, and then I saw it on the Drudge Report this morning. They've released Obama's half-brother has released his birth certificate, his Kenyan birth certificate. Now, we know that that's been out there for a while, and the media has ignored it. But now his brother has released it, and it's such a big story that they put it on the Drudge Report. When it hits the Drudge Report, it becomes mainstream news a very short time after that. And you say, well, Coach, why did you even bring that up now? Because, listen, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. What the Lord, I believe, is trying to show us is the deception that we've all been living under. This, as I spoke about yesterday, that great delusion. We've all been following that, all that we are all under. And to think about the constitutional crisis that will arise if Donald Trump or Jeff Sessions or whoever now begins to take seriously the fact that the President of the United States was not a natural-born citizen, which, by the way, most of us knew. The evidence was there. We knew that. So now that the media is being exposed, remember, nothing hidden that will not be revealed, brothers. We are coming into, I'm telling you, I mentioned this on Monday or Tuesday, we're coming into unbelievably dangerous times. Because if Barack Obama was not a natural-born American citizen, he was born in Kenya. Do you think George Bush knew? Think Barbara Bush knew? You think the CIA knew? You think the FBI knew? You think Nancy Pelosi knew and Harry Reid knew? Come on, of course they did. So the consequences of the ramifications of the truth coming out about who this guy was, brothers, this could be really, really, really heavy duty. So I just wanted to, as I'm riding down the highway, I want to throw that tidbit out there this morning. I'll be listening along with you guys, and hey, guys, girls, we got to keep our lamps trimmed. We got to keep oils in our lamp. We have to be smart enough, as the scriptures tell us. Jesus said, you can sit on your porch and you can feel the warm breeze blow, and you know it's going to be a warm day. You know it's going to be nice, that southerly breeze. He said, you can sit on your porch at night and you can look out into the west and you can see the storm clouds brewing, and you know it's going to rain. He said, you hypocrite, why is it that you cannot discern the signs of the time? So we do a show on prepping, not because we want to scare anybody, but because we want you, from a common sense perspective, to not be caught with your pants down or your wick dry or your lamp empty. So we're going to try to, Pastor Wayne and Chad are going to try to take us through some prepping ideas for this morning. And you take them with a grain of salt. If you want to say it's tinfoil hat and you don't want to worry about it, that's okay. But consider even the fact that a tornado could come through, or a hurricane could come through, and you could be without power for 6 or 7 or 8 days. Remember Hurricane Katrina? Louisiana, New Orleans still hasn't recovered. There are people who never returned to New Orleans. There are places in New Orleans that still have not been repaired. How many years has that been? 10 years. So take this with a grain of salt. I think it's very, very informative. Pastor Wayne and Chad are going to give us some common sense things on prepping. They come at it a little different way. I've seen Chad just a couple of weeks ago, and I saw some of the stuff he's done and some of the ideas he's come up with. And we're going to turn loose. Pastor Wayne, it's all yours, bro.
All right. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I was going to try to think of something controversial I could talk about, like that birth certificate, because I read that too. Then maybe I could make that right wing watch, because, I'd really like to be on there. Now, the reason that we prepare is because of where we're at in times. We all think that, times are terrible or they're bad. I served on many disaster preparedness teams, and I saw people, they had lots of money, they had lots of stuff, but when disaster comes to town, tornadoes come to town, it doesn't do you any good. All the stores are closed, everything shut down. And so I saw people driving nice cars, had money, but had to stand in long lines because they just wasn't prepared for anything like that. Then we have the Bible, and that's what makes us different. God has left behind his playbook. This is it. It's his playbook. And for those who are spiritual, it's a spiritual book. We understand the spiritual book. For those that are not spiritual, they think we're out in left field somewhere. As you look at the book of Revelation, you can see some horses riding into our society, and things happen. I think we've seen some of those horses already. This show this morning is not going to be to debate the book of Revelation, but it's why we prepare. It's because we have the playbook. We know, we think we know what's coming. And so we want to be wise. We want to have oil in our lamps. We want to listen to God. We see the signs of the time. This is exactly what Coach said. We can see the weather and see what's coming, but we see the signs and we don't pay any attention. And so in Revelation chapter 6, It gives us what to look for and what's going to happen. And now if you take Revelation 6 and compare it to Matthew 24, where the disciples asked Jesus, what are the signs of your coming? The signs that he gave them are the six seals of Revelation chapter 6. And so we put those two things together where we begin with the first horse coming in. And I know, those of you that have studied the Bible and heard other folks and everything else, you know these things. So I'm just going to go right down through them and just kind of give a quick overview of them to show what I think we're seeing. We see a white horse come riding in the first seal that was opened up, and it was given a crown and a bow, and we think that's the white horse is a false peace horse. Some people think it's the horse of Catholicism. You know, it looked like it was going to be good. It looked like it was going to bring peace to our world, but all it brought us was false hope and a false Messiah. It didn't do well. Then we opened up another seal and we see a red horse. And some of us believe that red horse is a horse that's meant to do away with the white horse, because the red horse could be communism, and communism hates God or any reference to God. And so now we have this fiery red horse. And it was given the ability to take peace from the earth. Now, the first horse was supposedly bringing peace, even though it was a false peace. Now we have a horse taking away from that peace. Communism killed more people than you could ever imagine. I know you know history, so it's not been well. Well, what counteracted communism? Well, you come along with the black horse, and that's the horse of capitalism. Because look, we're going to buy things, we're going to sell things, except it's not going to be too good. A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 days a measure of barley for a penny, which it says a denarius, which is really a day's wages. Do you know that 60% of the people in the world live on $2 a day or less? They have to work all day just to do that. This is what Coach has talked about, and I agree with wholeheartedly, is that we look at the Bible through American eyes. We're doing pretty well when the rest of the world is not. A lot of what's happening, the world has already seen these things. We're just beginning to see those things. And so we have capitalism coming along. And then we opened up the last one. The word for pale horse is actually chloris, which means green horse. And if you look at what it brought, it wasn't too good. The green horse brought death and hell. And power was given over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger and death, and the beasts of the earth. There's only one group of folks I know right now that kind of have power to kill with a sword, and that looks like Islam, and Islam is the color green. The corresponding verses in Revelation that we don't really have to look at, but it says that there will be nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes and pestilence that follow these things. We believe that Islam might be the one God uses to look. It says a fourth part of the earth will be killed. So there's going to be havoc everywhere. Now, we believe that we're entering into these times. And so what follows these things? Famines, pestilence, all kinds of things that we might have to prepare for, because we might be one of those folks that remain alive. We don't know yet. And so just with the backdrop of the Bible and the things we see coming, it kind of says to us, hey, if these are the times that we can look at and determine with our own eyes and with our own spirit where we may be going, then we may have to prepare for this, because the world is going to be under a delusion. Could you imagine somebody sets themselves up in the temple and says, I'm God. We Christians say, wait a minute, that's the Antichrist. How do you think the world would treat you today? Yeah, they would look at us like we were nuts. Oh, here you guys, you right-wingers go again, pointing out the Antichrist. Here's somebody trying to help us, and you guys are condemning them. I believe it's time that we prepare. So with that little introduction, that's why we prepare. That's why I prepare. I believe that we're living in a time where we don't know. You may get up tomorrow. Yeah, it could be a tornado. It could be an earthquake. It could also be a nuclear detonation. You see what's going on in Iran. You see what's going on with Korea. These things could be false, but they could be very real. We don't know what our world could look like in one day. When those planes hit the towers in 9/11, we shut down the stock market for a week. We shut down air traffic for a week. We couldn't take that in our economy today. We're kind of living on the razor's edge as far as that goes. So there's all kinds of things. And this is not a scare tactic. This is pay attention to the signs of the time, then do the appropriate thing. Because God has left us his word, and that's what gives us hope. And so we don't want to just look at something foolishly as if it's not there and walk away. We'll pay for that. That's what the book of Proverbs says. So I'm going to turn it over to Chad, and Chad is like me. We gather a lot of information, and that's my gift. I gather information. And so Chad's going to jump in, going to give you some of his information. And then when he gets tired of talking, I guess I'll take over.
Wayne?
Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
Could we just, before Chad, could you share with them a little bit about the program that you are kicking off in April?
Well, we just decided we were going to start a little huddle like this. It's April the 8th, around 8 o'clock in the morning. Just get a bunch of guys together, girls together, doesn't matter, a cup of coffee, and just explode some ideas on what I'm doing, what you're doing, and try to help each other. Because there's, we put all the brains together, we may come up with a good plan. I don't know everything. I don't know a whole lot, but I have studied a lot. And it'll just help everybody together to give us ideas. What'd you do this week? What'd you come up with this week? And just kind of help each other down the road.
So in April, we begin the second and fourth Saturday, a huddle program that is going to be dealing with preparedness.
Yeah, we just decided we'd do about two Saturdays a month, and we'll get the word out and just see who's interested in learning more about preparing. All right, Chad, you're on, man.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity here to come in. I just want to say before we get started here, is that if everybody could, don't forget to donate to the huddle, okay? Coach needs it. He's not going to ask for it. I know it, but we've got a lot of events coming up, and, we could use your some donations so we can make the outreach greater, okay? With that being said, now we've decided we should prepare, okay? But now what are we going to prepare for? I mean, there's so many calamities that could possibly happen. So I kind of boggled my mind here, and I said I kind of come up with four kind of major ones that could splinter off into, infinite a number of situations. First one I came up with was an epidemic or a pandemic, where you have an airborne sickness, something like a physical touch where you pass it from person to person, or a bodily fluid exchange such as AIDS or whatever. The second one that I came up with was, of course, a financial collapse. We're sitting on the bubble. We've been told we're sitting on the bubble. We have the debt ceiling potentially raised or not getting raised coming up here on March 15th. All the experts, saying, so I don't know what the status of that is, but having your gold, your silver, your junk silver, and then even having some cash on hand that you may be able to use. And if I'm talking too fast, it's okay, folks. This program's recorded. You can always go back, review it. We just have a lot of material. All right, third one I came up with is a grid down scenario where you total power loss, or at least a power loss in your area, EMP strike, or just a lightning strike there by your own house. My own house, that's happened before, where we lost power. Because some horse rubbed up against some power lines, and so we were without power for 2 days. So we just applied what we had. So there's multiple ways that could be that you could consider making some power with wind, solar, You want some hand crank items. The generators are fine, but they're hard to come by. They're loud, and you're going to have fuel storage, and it will attract attention to those that don't have those assets. The final one I came up with is the Red Dawn scenario. So if you've seen the movie from 1985 and then they did a remake not too long ago, but that's any type of basic mass violence, gangs, riots, foreign invasion, refugee uprising, however you want to look at it, anything that deals with a mass violence scenario is situations that we can believe that could happen. So now what do we do? We've identified four key areas in which that we're going to kind of fan out in our preps. So what do we do? Well, we need to begin research. We need to go online. There's an infinite number of resources out there. You can find anything from how to make a bug out bag, 10 things you got to have in your bug out bag, 25 things you got to have in your, here's a 20 list of 20 things. Here's a list. There's just so many lists you can go on. What you do is you just consume that information like a sponge, and then you apply that to your own circumstances. Somebody in New York is not going to prepare the same way as somebody is in Louisiana. You're just not, because you have a different set of resources there. But one site that I found that I kind of based it on, I'm just going to give them a plug. They don't do anything for me. SurviveAnyDisaster.com. SurviveAnyDisaster.com. And they have a list of 20 things. The only group, that's the only list I found that had a Bible listed in it. So I thought, hey, that's pretty appropriate. I didn't go down the list verbatim. I went down and there was something on there that did not apply to me. I marked it off and then I moved the list up. And then I just filled in on the back side because there might be something on the list that I need that's not on the list. And so I just applied each as many of the situations on there, or the suggestions, I should say, to each product. Now, when I'm reviewing gear and things like that, I have a five-year rule. Okay, whatever I buy, it's got to be able to hold up for 5 years. My footwear, my backpack, those kind of things like that. My belts, that kind of stuff. My knives, all that too. And when you buy a knife, there's a lot of knives out there. You want to ensure that you get a one that's called a full tang, where the metal goes all the way down through the handle. So you don't want to be sticking in something that it's only in there about an inch and the handle breaks on you, and then the knife's basically useless to you. Any questions so far?
Is there a biblical basis for preparedness? And if there is, what is that scripture?
Well, I would say that I'm not going to quote one, but we know the story about the women that had the 10 lamps, and five of them took oil with them and the other five didn't. Remember that story? So
well, that's
they didn't have supplies enough to continue on with the mission. So they had to run back and they missed their window of opportunity.
Chad, that story just happens to follow Matthew 24 with the signs of the time that Jesus is coming. Matthew 25 is the parable of the 10 virgins. You heard he was coming and you did nothing. And that's why they're called foolish. And if you'll read the rest of Matthew 25, it's in correlation with Matthew 24, the parable of the talents. I put something in your hand. What did you do with it? And then how did you treat your brothers when they were in jail, when they needed clothing, when they needed food? How did you help them? That's all in correlation with Matthew 24 about the end of the times. We are to be prepared so that we can help ourselves, but yet help our brothers too.
Jared, would you want to run that video I sent you right quick?
The reason I asked that, Wayne and Chad, is I always like to have a biblical response to people when they say, don't worry, God will take care of it.
Well, what I tell people is, why don't you why don't you just not buy groceries for the next 30 days and see if God will take care of you? You might want to test out that theory before you use it in a disaster.
Wayne, you're a smart man.
Hey, Roger, you might also want to look at Luke 14:28. It says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?
That's right. Good one. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, Jared, you want to roll that down? Yep. Talking about preparation, it's not, look, the most important prep that you need to do is be prepared with Christ. That's the number one. The second one is your mindset. You need to have your mind right. You need to have your mind prepared for what the adversity you're going to see, what adversity you're going to experience, what you're going to sight, the smells, the sounds, the experience, the overall experience. You're going to have to go without, chances are. You're not going to be able to run down to Walmart and get new batteries. You need to have this stuff. And that's what we're doing here. So my suggestion on your preparations when you start is to start with on foot, everything that you're going to need to walk with. And then your next, once you get all that stuff, then you can move to anything that you can fit in your vehicle. And the third and final thing is your house. Because you're going to be at your house, you already have most of the resources already there. But if you have to leave, if you're forced to leave, then you're able to take your vehicle, you grab it, your vehicle and go. Have a place to go to. Don't just wander through the wilderness thinking that something's going to happen, or that you're going to find something. Because at some point you're going to run out of fuel, or you'll have get two flat tires. Well, now you're on foot. So that's why your ultimate prep begins with on foot. Then you can move out from there. The refugees in the Middle East didn't think they were going to be refugees. ISIS swept through there and kicked them out. And they gave them an option at first to pay some taxes. And if they didn't, they killed a few of them. And then people paid until they couldn't pay anymore. And then they kicked them out. And they're moving, just hundreds of thousands of them moving down the road. So, Wayne, you got anything to add on that? Wayne? You there?
I'm going to open it up and see if anybody had any questions on, what would you do in this scenario? What would you recommend for this? Because, we can play out all the scenarios, but it might be more important to what you need to know.
Let me just. More, I didn't. I didn't hear you.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you what one of the things I've done, because, Chad, you mentioned quite a few things on here. I have totes, and totes are cheap. You know, $6, $7 at Walmart, get pretty good-sized totes. I have one that just says lights out. What happens if the lights go out? Doesn't matter what the cause is, but it's got candles, it's got fuel for stuff. It's, you know, it's got batteries, it's got crank radios. It's got walkie-talkies. It's, you know, anything that would happen if power went down, I just go grab that tote. I know exactly where it's at. Chad mentioned pandemic. You know, it sounds a little scary, but it could happen. I have a tote. It's got gloves and masks and those little suits that you put on to stop something from getting you. I've got antibiotics in there and things like that, you know, just in case. So it's not a bad idea. It can be overwhelming, but I think Chad is right. You start with 3 days in a bug out bag. You start with a little bit more in a vehicle. Basically, I think if you can wait out the first month at your house, it's going to weed out a lot of folks. You know, people are going to get desperate. You've seen these storms. He showed that on the video. You know, we got a snowstorm coming this weekend. You know what the store will look like in a matter of time, because the inventories are, you know, same day deliveries and things like that. Well, you mess up a couple days, they're done. I remember going down to Katrina to Slidell, Louisiana. All the stores were closed. There was nothing there to be found. So it was pretty desperate. Anything could trigger that. So if you got a scenario, we can go through it and try to help somebody out.
Well, it's not just, you know, it's, what you buy will encompass what you may experience. So that's what, you know, certain things are going to be more prevalent for you to have to have. Like when I went down there for Katrina and Rita, I mean, it was 2 days in that people were down there fist fighting over gas. So nobody had any gas in the fuel store. They still got to get to work or whatever, run your chainsaw, that kind of stuff. But whatever you buy, remember the old saying, two is one and one is none. So I try to buy two or three of the items that I can after I do a lot of research on. And like water filters, I have a bunch of water filters. I like a brand called Sawyer. I researched water filters for 12 days, and I don't know how many 20-plus sheets of paper on the spiral notebook. This filter unit will filter 1 million gallons of water without a reusable cartridge. You just back flush it. There's a link. Jared has a link here for you that you can look up. A 2-liter bag with two bags on it is right around $100. And that brings me to another issue, is that have a set budget that you can commit to this every month or every week, depending on your pay circumstances. There's YouTube videos. There's five that they began prepping with $5 a week. And it has a food list and all that. Again, this is only introduction, and then we're going to ask you, the viewer, to go on out here and during this week between shows and do your research on based on the stuff that we're talking to you about, so you can open up another area for you and get some experience on some of these things. In looking at, go ahead, Roger.
Quick question. When, let's assume the shit hits the fan and you know things are going bad and you've got a little time, are there a top 10 things you go get right then and there? You know, there's problems. You got 48 hours to move. I know you may say it's too late, but for the person that says, okay, I'm going to go get something, is there a list that you go get?
Yes. I would say I will go down to either Sam's or Costco if you have a membership. If not, it doesn't matter. Go to any store, at Dollar General, any one of those, have it. I will grab as much rice, and beans and Denny Moore beef stew and canned meat that I could get my hands on. I would just basically be rolling my cart.
I heard rice,
whatever you can, as much as you can afford. Pardon?
Rice, beans, and what?
Yeah, like Denny Moore beef stew, any of that kind of stuff. The canned chicken. I like canned chicken. There's those canned hams that look kind of like in a triangle. I would avoid tuna fish altogether. I don't even want to, because of the Fukushima problem. So all the radiation, I just don't want to be, I'm just not going to chance it. So chicken. And then you want to, look, toilet paper, man. Toilet paper is going to be priceless. All you ladies out there, the feminine hygiene products for you, your daughter, you guys got to think of those things that you're going to need. You have special needs there on that. Of course, and just instead of just like when you buy sodas or whatever, you have the 2-liter bottles. If you can rinse those out and then refill them up with water, set them in your garage. It's just the water is so hard to store because, you know, it just takes so much. You know, even on a grid down scenario, a minimum water usage today is about 3 gallons a person.
Hey, Coach.
3 gallons.
Dad, how about beer?
I wouldn't say that. But, you know, some people could buy alcohol, tobacco, you know, cigarettes. All that stuff will be good down the road for barter, for trading and stuff like that. But if I'm waiting 48 hours and I got nothing, I'm not buying that extracurricular stuff. I'm getting stuff to sustain my family. Now, if I have small kids or children, I want some kind of comfort food. So I may be getting, like, beef ravioli, the SpaghettiOs, some little brownie treats or something like that. Something that
let's talk about the kids
make it,
for a second.
Make a transition.
Question about canned goods.
Canned goods.
Can I jump in there a second?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Coach is on the line, guys.
Let me jump in here a second. I apologize. I got technology. I got my phone here. Hey, Chad, one of the things that my wife has emphasized to me ever since we came back from your place is water, water, water. And Chad, can you talk a little bit about water filters and the importance of them and what you're looking for, and that you don't have to spend an arm and a leg to get a water filter? Can you talk a little bit about that, where a guy can go out with a water filter, dip a bucket into a pond, and have the water be drinkable?
Okay. Well, one of the things you can do is, of course, you can buy these IBC totes that they have, like 275 gallons to 325 gallons. If you're going to make an investment in that, it's about $75 to $100. You always make sure that what the tote is food grade. If you ask the guy, is this food grade? He says, I don't know. Then walk away, because that's, usually it's got that Roundup in it. It never comes clean. It never comes clean. It's going to be hard to carry around a lot of water all the time. One thing that I found is it's a 73% hypochloric full shock. I think that's how it goes. Hypochloric, whatever. 74% full shock. Now, I can take that full shock and I can mix it up and I can make my own bleach. And then I can then sanitize my water with that bleach. And one package of that, I can sanitize 10,000 gallons of water. Now, if you're looking at water filter, we talked already about the Sawyer water filter. I like it because I'm not going to be able to go down to Amazon or Walmart or Target. Target, just kidding. And get a new filter unit. I'm not going to be able to get it. A lot of these, they'll filter, 2,500 gallons, but you got to put another cartridge in there. It's just not going to be accessible. It's not going to be accessible. You have to think Mad Max type stuff that, you know, this stuff's not going to be available. Of course, you can boil the water as well. There's multiple ways of treating that water, making you know. I recommend a few books. The SAS manual that's a British Special Forces book. It's great. It has all kinds of plant information in there. It has a way to set traps. It's all colors, and it tells you exactly what plants and how to also filter water if you don't want to buy that a water filter. I also have those little life straws. Those are pretty good, too. They have, like, in your backpack, your bug-out bag, have those in there. Because you can just lean down into the water and just draw it up like a straw, and it's effective. But I like the bigger ones so that I can fill them up and I can move with them. And it's a gravity feed. The Sawyer filters are a gravity feed that it can be I could be filtering water while I'm on the run or while I'm on the move. It's important that you be able to do that. Did that answer your question, Coach? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Chad, yeah, well, along with the water issue, you mentioned rice earlier. This is something that I'd never thought about previously. But instead of regular rice, I'm getting minute rice now, because not only do you have to worry about the amount of water that you boil off when you're boiling regular rice and stuff, but the amount of time that you spend with your fuel sources, which are limited, in preparing regular rice versus minute rice.
Yeah, this
one I've done. I would have both. Now, the minute rice is great. It's not as wholesome as the full grain rice. Okay, you're gonna get it's really half the bud of a rice. It's a great idea. Okay, if you're on the move, you grow fast. But if you've got a bivouac and you've basically got a secured area, then you can roll with that. You can make a campfire. You know, that's personal preference. Not if you want to do it. That's kind of splitting hairs. But the minute rice is a good idea. I don't have any objections to that. It's a good solid food, high carbohydrate. You know, your beans are a good protein food, and that way you continue to build muscle. So you're going to need a good balance of that. You can also buy fruit's going to be at a premium, that dehydrated fruit, or you can buy the canned fruit cocktail, any of that kind of stuff, canned peaches, that kind of, you know, any of those type of items. Okay. So the canned goods are always good.
Yeah. Chad, Wayne, you still with us?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay. A couple topics that would interest me in the future. When do you leave your home?
You'll know when. You'll know when. That's all I can say. I can't answer that. There's not one book out there that people go, when this happened, we left. Because it was different for everybody. What I did, Roger, was I read about what they did in Russia in the 90s or the 80s there when they collapsed. Okay? And then I read what they did in Argentina when their economy collapsed. And those people, they had totally different experiences, but they were in the same boat.
Well, here's my next question. Okay? This is a good program today. Overwhelming, okay? My next question, another topic that would interest me in the future is how to build your survival team. How do you gather that concept? Another topic that would interest me in the future on the Saturday programs would the water issue is key to me. I really like more information on water, but there are topics I think that will be very healthy to come out with. But one of the things I'm always concerned about, whenever I've thought of an interest in this and to participate, it is overwhelming at times, and then that gets people to cave in and not do anything. So
the worst thing you can do is get stagnant. Even if you're in a shootout and bullets are whizzing all over the place, don't sit there and just sit there. You got to move. We've got to move forward. Look, grab on to something that we're talking about today and go get it. Just go get it. Say, look, you know what? We don't have any food. All right, let's go down here. Let's spend $75 and let's get some food. Now, Chad talked about rice. He talked about beans. He talked about Danny Moore beef stew. He talked about fruit cocktail. Let's get some of that. Okay, you get off that. Decide. Look, I'm not worried about getting in debt. Because if I ran my credit card up 2 or 3 times. I pay it off. But if something happens, I got my stuff. I got my stuff. And I can help my family. And I can help the other folks in need. How I pick my group is I see what skill set I lack. And I go and refine people that have that. I use that show, Doomsday Preppers. And I just say, hey, man, what do you think about that show, Doomsday Preppers? And if they smirk or they laugh, then I'm done with them. And I move on to the next guy that's got the skill set that I'm looking for.
Can I jump in a second?
Sorry, am I yelling? Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you just said that Doomsday Prepper. I would have been one of those people that smirked, and I'm going to tell you why. Because those people are foolish. They are foolish because they let the world know what they have and where they live.
Yep.
They let everybody. They're fools. And you have to have something on your back that you can grab and know that you can walk away from everything you stockpiled at home. You need to know up here, knowledge weighs nothing. Because what
That's
if,
right. No problem.
God forbid, you're right now, next week, God forbid, your house burns down. Or passed away, yours burns down. Or anybody else's, mine burns down. If we have things, and I say if, they're gone. Then what? And then the collapse is next week. If you have it upstairs in your head, that's where it's got to be.
Right,
I didn't mean to be
right.
Harsh.
Knowledge, the more you know, the less you carry. The more you know, the less you carry. But say, I'm a tornado. I'm a natural disaster away from being just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. That's why Christ is my number one prep. Okay?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, hey, I'm a nuclear weapon away from losing it all, too. You know, look, I can control the things I can control. I'm dumb if I can see the event and do nothing. So,
James,
I mean, I'm just saying as a general rule of thumb on that doomsday purpose. I agree with that obstacle on some of that.
Okay. Can Steve say something, please?
Yes. Please do, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good, sir. Good.
I think what in a nutshell what Sarah is trying to say is that all what y'all are talking about is spot on. It's 100% right. But I think what Sarah is trying to say is that there's two types of preparation. There's preparing your home for yourself and your family, and there's also preparation whether you live in a city or out in the country. There's a preparation you need to have to be able to leave at any given moment. If there's real chaos in a town or city where you live, you have to be able to grab your knapsack or duffel bag or whatever have you and have the knowledge to be able to live outside, whether that be in the rural country where you'll be better off or in an urban setting. There's two types of preparation, I think, is what she's trying to say. And
that's what we talked about earlier in the show, what I mentioned. Foot, vehicle, house. And you start with the feet, then move to, that's where you start at.
That's one.
Eventually, you're going to end up there. You're going to end up there.
Okay, sorry that I missed the first part of the show. I had to run out and do something.
No, that's all right. I'm glad you got on and got involved, man. It's great. Look, everybody's got something to contribute. I don't have all the answers. I'm just, I've spent a lot of money on stupid products because they look cool. Okay? They're not functional, but they look cool, and I was sold the gimmick. And so, look, I can't make emotional choices. That's why emotions will betray you. They'll betray you because they'll lead you astray because they think you look cool.
That's exactly right. Always remember this one tip. The three most important things when you're on your feet, or for that matter, anywhere, okay, the three most important things that have always been, I have almost 70 years experience with this stuff. It's a knife, a way to start a fire, and water. They're your three most things. And don't go out and buy a local piece of junk at Walmart. There's knives out there that cost thousands of dollars, and most of them are worth every penny of it. And to know how to use flint and steel or a ferro rod or matches in a waterproof case. I know the finest makers of this stuff all over the world. But they're the three most important things. Thanks, fellas. I got to run.
Thank you for your input. One more thing I want to give, and then I'll throw it back over to Wayne, and then we can you can do what you want. The main thing also, look, your situations are going, your circumstances are going to be different depending on where you are. The whole thing is going to be fluid. You got to use your head, you got to be calm, and you got to make good choices. Okay? Now, more people have died, they're dying from dysentery than they do from violence. So having this, be able to, like, some wet wipes, okay, toilet paper, again, we're going to talk about the feminine hygiene product, okay, have you an outhouse or a 5-gallon bucket with the toilet lid on it, you know, us guys, we could probably rough it, but the wives, I mean, frankly, look, they need to be pampered a little bit more, and if you can think ahead, they'll have that, and they'll appreciate that. They really will, and that's good for morale, because if morale goes down, then, man, it's just everything's just so much harder. What kind of training you need? Okay, if you say, well, I don't know what I need, then you probably need a lot.
Wayne, you still with them?
Okay, Wayne, go ahead, sir.
Well, my thought was you get with a group of people because you can't do it on your own. I think spiritual preparation is the most important. We all have to be on the same page spiritually, and we help each other spiritually. And then psychologically, we have to help each other. This is stress like, you know, most people will never experience. If you watch some of these survival shows, you see most of them don't last long because, you know, they can't take it. And so they have to be together. And I think you're going to need other people because you can't stay up all by yourself. You can't watch things all by yourself. And you can't do everything all by yourself. It'll become too overwhelming, just as we've talked a lot about today. Some of you are just blown away. You think, there's no way I can do all that. But you can do a little bit at a time. You can get with a group of people who each can do a little bit. And then pile all of your little bits together, and you'll have more than you think you have. You don't have to do it all by yourself. If you do it all by yourself, you won't make it anywhere. So do as Chad said. Find you a group of like-minded people. I go to church. I listen to people. I throw things out like Chad said, like some bait, just to see where people are at. Okay, do I want to identify with these people? Do I trust these people with my life? And then begin to meet with them and come up with a plan. What can you do this week? What could you do this week? And bite off a little bit. You know, it's that how to eat an elephant. One bite at a time, so it don't seem so overwhelming. But I will say this with Chad, I don't think we have the time we think we have. I think just any time something can happen and it'd be too late. So don't wait too late to make a plan and get started. I think the time to start is last year.
Yes, you think.
Hey, Pastor.
Wait, yeah,
can I? Can I jump in?
One thing I just want to say right quick. I was just going to say, the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the clock, trying to wind it down here a little bit. A lot of great information. Folks, listen, let me tell you something I think is critically important that you can do tonight. Where are you going to meet your children? Roger, I'm thinking about you, and you got Dylan in one place, you got Dustin in another place. If the crap were to hit the fan, do your kids know where to meet you? You guys have a place that you are running to, and especially if you are within
the city limits of a major city. You have a plan of escape. When the crap first hits the fan, you have some place to run to. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a place, a pre-planned place that you guys are going to meet, your children may be coming to your home, and you may have had to flee your home. So you need to come up with a strategy. Guys, if the communications go down, here's where I'll be. I will meet you here. I think it's very, very critical, something very simple that everybody can do. So I appreciate Chad and Wayne and Roger and everybody who jumped in here today. I know we've been kind of all over the board with everything that's going on. But it's time to be like the men of Issachar, to understand the times in which we live. We do, don't we, fellas? We understand the times in which we live. And because we understand the times in which we live, we know what it is that we need to do. And right now, what we need to do is to be level-headed, to plan, to think, to strategize, to be ahead of the curve when all of this stuff hits the fan. Hopefully it will never happen, but it's a lot better to be prepared in case it does happen than to be not prepared and then it does come. So God bless you guys. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Chad. Everybody's joined in. Great show. Great information. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you on Monday morning.